In every country, in every city, around the world, you're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. And folks, for those of you who can make it, I'll be at the Self-Reliance Expo and Fair 93 at the Denver Coliseum, September 16th through the 19th. I hope to see you there. I'll be in booth number 64. And if you have the time, please stop by and say hello. Especially if you're a CAGI member in the area, if you're a member of the Citizens Agency Joint Intelligence, if you're one of those unsung heroes who have been gathering and funneling information to us for the last several years, I especially would like to meet you. I'll be the keynote speaker Thursday, September 16th at 7 p.m., and I'll be speaking again Friday, September the 17th at 11:30 a.m., Again, Saturday, September the 18th, I'll be the keynote speaker at 8:30 p.m. Again, that's the Denver Coliseum, September 16th through the 19th, Self-Reliance Expo and Fair 93. Let me give you a number that you can call for information. It is 303-482-3731. That's 303-482-3731. Folks, I've been getting several letters and some calls berating me for having Brad Steiger on this program and for even associating with such a person. And I have these comments to make for those of you who wrote those letters and made those calls. How do you think I know the plans of those who would destroy us? How do you think I learned to understand the symbology of the mystery schools, the secret societies that are destroying us from within? How do you think I understand what's coming for us in the future? Where do you think I got all the information that I've relayed to you during the 28 hours on the mystery schools? You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to fight a battle, you better read everything that your enemy ever wrote, ever said. You better listen to every broadcast that they ever made. You had better study the life of their officers and their commander. You had better know their tactics, or you've lost the battle before you've even begun. Please, don't write me any more foolish letters, and don't call me with any more foolish tirades about who I bring on this radio program. You see, this is my radio program. If you have the money, or if you have the backing, you too can have a radio program, and you can have anyone that you wish on your program.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I'd rather stand up next to you than the center still today. But there
from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
Fine piece of music, and of course the man who sings it is one of the best that I've ever heard who sings patriotic songs. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest, another radio talk show host from Indianapolis, Indiana, who besides me is just about probably the only one in this country who really speaks his mind and speaks it the way I do and is on the right track and is suffering for it, just like I've suffered over the years. When I dared to tell the world that it was not the Jews, I was labeled an anti-Semite. This man is Jewish, and because he dares tell the truth, he's also been labeled an anti-Semite. And we're going to hear his story tonight. Good evening, Stan. Welcome to the Hour of the Time.
I'm glad to be here, Bill. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Tell us a little history. What do you do in Indianapolis, and what is it that has brought so much attention down around your head?
Well, just to go back a little bit, I'm not a radio personality. I've been a financial consultant for 20-plus years. I was born and raised in Indianapolis, but left here in 1969, moved to Cincinnati because of a business opportunity there, and frankly, because things didn't go well for me here. Even back in 1969, I was hard-headed and kind of stuck on certain things that I was taught when I grew. And when I was asked to do things that were illegal, I said no and paid a heavy price. And I was asked to do those things by the authorities, not by the so-called crooks. But without going into that, I went to Cincinnati and over time built a business and built myself into a pretty substantial situation of to being a multimillionaire. Owned about a $50 million portfolio of real estate. Still had strong feelings for certain things, and had been on the radio as just a guest talking about financial things, and decided I really would like to do a show, and frankly bought my way onto a radio station, and the show took off and became very popular very quickly because I was speaking out for just common sense, frankly, items. I was pro-life, anti-homosexuality, those type of things.
Uh-huh.
And immediately was pounced upon by the those who disagreed, the people on the liberal side of the aisle, and frankly was letting my business go because I was focusing on this and allowed my business to be run by good people that were working for me but weren't me, and the result was my business didn't do well. And then, of course, I don't have to tell you or anyone else about what happened in 89 and 90 with the real estate business, and was caught with a lot of real estate and a lot of money out, and unable to pay off mortgages, unable to get any equity out, unable to get any cash to work with, and went through a time of trying to work it out, and then finally had to file bankruptcy and lost literally everything that I had.
Mm-hmm.
But knew that I had tried my best, even though some people lost money, stayed right there in Cincinnati, and work to build back up a business doing the same thing, financial advice and real estate, and successfully did that and was making a pretty good living, frankly a very good living, when an opportunity arose here in Indianapolis, just kind of out of the blue. My sister called me and said, there's a radio station that has gotten Rush Limbaugh and is looking for a strong person, liberal or conservative, as the radio station doesn't take a position. They just want to have ratings. It's a commercial radio station,
mm-hmm.
which is what they should do, frankly. And
we know that they don't do that.
Well, all right. But the fact is that she arranged for an interview for me. I came in, interviewed basically on one day, was asked to come back the next day, and never did stop. I mean, they just put me right on the air, and I've been on the air ever since, and have been attacked personally, professionally, morally, in every way you can imagine by the media that simply have said that, you know, I'm mean-spirited, I'm divisive, I'm a hate-monger, I'm an anti-Semite, I'm a racist, I'm a homophobe, and every other thing that liberals call people that don't agree with them. Now, of course, a bit of the quandary was, I'm married to a black woman, and I'm Jewish.
Uh-huh.
So it was a little tougher for them to, but that didn't deter them from calling me all these names. And then what has happened, that they have just gone from one thing to another. They first got very upset because I was driving back and forth from Cincinnati to Indianapolis, therefore saying I had no right to give an opinion because I wasn't a resident of this state, even though I have to pay taxes like everyone else here. If you earn your money here, you pay taxes because that's how taxes are calculated, on where you earn the money,
mm-hmm.
not where you live as far as income taxes or state income taxes. And then they said I wasn't registered to vote, which, of course, there aren't any elections here, and there are elections in Ohio, and I don't miss an election voting and trying to do what I can do within the system. And then they attacked the fact that I had a bankruptcy, and the bankruptcy was not granted the first time. It's under appeal, and they wanted to say, you know, that I did some awful, terrible things, and just felt totally comfortable labeling, using innuendo, rumor, didn't bother with fact. They don't need to have fact. They don't need to have a basis. They are free to call names. In fact, I mentioned to you before that even on the computer bulletin boards, they're writing letters, calling me, and anyone who listens to me, all kinds of demeaning names, and then, of course, saying that we are name callers. And I could just go on and on. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, and I'm familiar with all of those things that have happened to me over and over and over again.
Exactly, and they're going to happen. And you've possibly talked to Linda Thompson in the past, who, when she came out with the information on the Waco situation,
mm-hmm.
immediately she was attacked, although she is liberal in some of her other views, but that makes no difference. Once you come out against the politically correct agenda, the agenda of those who would lead us either subtly or not so subtly towards being worker bees and obedient members of a godless, moralist order that they can utilize to accomplish whatever it is that they have in mind, I'm not quite sure they know, then you are attacked and you are ripped apart and you are demeaned in every way that they can think of.
That's correct. What are some of the things that you talked about on your radio show that brought all this into reality?
Well, a number of things. First and foremost, I was very strongly pro-life, and that, of course, irritates them to no end.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I'm very strongly pro-God. That makes them even madder.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, I had the audacity to say that when a group of people, and as a Jewish person, when a group of people allow themselves to be perceived as a stereotypical whole versus individuals with varying opinions, that you create or help to create an atmosphere where someone can utilize that stereotype to create unrest and or frustration and or hatred and or violence against your whole group.
And or murder an entire church in Waco, Texas.
Well, that, and of course, I certainly got involved in the Waco situation and the BATF's actions and the Randy Weaver situation and the BATF and FBI's actions, and have talked about the man in Florida that was murdered in his home, whose land was next to something that the Park Department wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring this information out. Not that I say to people, listen to me. Rather, I say to people, here's some information. Consider it, along with whatever information that you get, because the key to winning, in my mind, is that we all get involved. I am totally and firmly convinced if everyone plays the game, our side wins.
Yeah.
The other side doesn't want people playing the game.
That's right. That's been my message since I began my crusade, is to wake the sheeple, empower the people, and together we can save freedom, not just for this country, but for the world.
And I don't think that people are unintelligent by stretch of the imagination, but they are uninformed in many cases. And the media and those who would have us become sheeple certainly don't want the information out there. In fact, you probably know or were informed that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in the Federal Register on the 15th of last month made a request that the results of the investigation not be made public. Did you know that?
Yes, I was aware of that.
And that's the kind of thing that people send to me because you can't keep up with everything.
Mm-hmm.
We pass that along, and the BATF comes on the air and says, well, I'm obviously prejudiced, and I won't allow them an opportunity to get the truth across. I'm saying, how can you say that? What, why don't you want the results of the investigation out if you want the truth to come across? I mean, isn't that oxymoronic?
Well, they think that we're cattle. They think that we're stupid. They think that we don't have the intelligence to figure that out.
We know the fact of the matter is they don't think that, but they count on our accepting less than the full story, or our accepting baseless or groundless or logicless information, and just to say, okay. And the fact of the matter is that the people on our side, and I don't know how to describe that with exactitude, but the fact is people who are moral, people who are self-sufficient, people who are responsible,
mm-hmm.
people who believe in God, people who believe in respect and giving the other person the benefit of the doubt, and all of those things tend to be people who are busy, tend to be people who are involved, tend to be people who are responsible and have responsibilities, and they don't have the time that others who do absolutely not a damn thing except suck from society have the time to do all kinds of things.
That is certainly true for an awful lot of people. What?
At any rate, that's, you know, those are the type of things that I talk about. For instance, I described Jocelyn Elders
mm-hmm.
as a minimally intelligent, moralist token who wouldn't be in her position if it weren't for the fact that she were a politically correct, relatively stupid black woman.
Now, remember, we're going worldwide, so you're going to have to explain to the listening audience who you're talking about.
Well, Jocelyn Elders is the person that's just been confirmed by the Senate of the United States to be the Surgeon General, which is, in fact, to be the person in charge, technically, of the health of this nation, both physically and psychologically. And this is a woman that most people don't understand is going to be given, instead of an $8 billion budget, who her predecessor had, is going to be given a $218 billion budget, and the ability to insert into the entire society, through the education system, propaganda and condoms, such that they will change our whole attitude from just say no to premarital sex and promiscuity to just say no, except if you feel like it, say yes and use a condom.
Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law.
And the bottom line is, she is the titular head. She is the, I hate to use the word spiritual with a godless person, but she is a person that literally allowed the defective condoms to be distributed in the state of Arkansas, where she was the head of that particular state where the President of the United States came from, or should we say was ejected from. And even though she knew that they were defective, she would not let them know that they were defective because she didn't want them to lose their comfort and confidence in condoms. And yet when asked if she would have made the same decision for her own children, she said, I make different decisions for my own children than I make for the general public.
Mm-hmm.
My God, what kind of statement is that?
It's a terrible, terrible, terrible statement. Our investigation into the whole condom thing is that the whole thing is a hoax. You cannot see the HIV virus with a microscope, but you can see all kinds of holes in any and every condom that's ever been made.
The technical information, to give you exact information, a sperm, an individual sperm, is 450 times the size of an individual AIDS virus.
That's correct.
And the holes or the openings in latex are 5 microns. An individual AIDS virus is one half of 1 micron. Condoms cannot, will not, and were never designed to stop the AIDS virus.
That's absolutely correct. But yet everybody is
someone
being...
Someone having sexual intercourse with someone while wearing a condom, if that person has AIDS, is like trying to protect someone from the rain with a fan as opposed to an umbrella.
Right, or an umbrella with holes in it.
Or an umbrella, or a sieve.
Yes.
It is designed to do three things. One, to increase, as opposed to decrease, the number of children who get sexually transmitted diseases, which means they then become dependent on government, which then means they do whatever government wants them to do because they need whatever the government is giving them, like drug addicts.
Not only that, but it increases the death rate, and part of the goals of the New World Order is to...
community where they don't want them. That's what abortion was designed for by Margaret Sanger.
That's
this woman was an avowed racist. She made Hitler look like a Sunday school teacher. She wanted to eliminate all black people and do subterfuge. And also, this was, woman was incredibly promiscuous. She was a nymphomaniac. She had a written contract with her husband when she married him that she'd continue her sexual encounters or affairs with 5 men who she was going with at that time.
Isn't this incredible? How did they get away with this?
They don't get away with it. They simply... In conjunction with a left-leaning media that voted 95% for Dukakis and for Clinton and would have voted for Marx or Lenin, they simply don't share that information.
Well, let's call it what it is. I hate to call them liberals because they're not liberals. They are Marxist socialists, and socialism sucks.
Well, and so do most of them, frankly. That's really not where they are. But the fact of the matter is, these are people who have or are part of an agenda that literally leads itself, and this is not just Stan or Bill making stuff up. 1961, President Kennedy signed a treaty. That treaty, which has yet to be ratified by the Senate, but has been amended 18 times by United States presidents since, says that the United States shall, over a period of time, turn over all of their armed forces and all their weaponry to the United Nations, because that treaty says that all signing members will agree to allow the United Nations to issue directives, and no member nation will be in a position to be able to reject or to not obey those directives. And that is exactly the direction we're going. President Clinton is becoming proactive in turning over U.S. troops, not only to foreign commanders at their lead, but to foreign control, where we have nothing to say about how they're used, against whom they're used, or what might happen to them if they are used.
That's right. And while that treaty was not ratified by the Senate as of yet, all of the terms of that treaty have been passed into law over the years.
Except for the one where we have turned over the control of our armed forces and our weaponry, but we're now starting that.
That's right.
And just this year in Louisville, Vice President Al, where's my tree, Gore, signed a treaty turning over autonomy of our natural resources to a world body, which in fact would be able to do two things. One, tax us for the use of our own natural resources. And two, dictate to us whether or not we could use those natural resources, that literally would have the power, if this treaty were ratified, to say the United States of America can no longer cut down any trees.
That's right, and that's part of the redistribution of wealth.
Well, I'm just saying that's the concept on a worldwide basis is no different than the concept by the liberal Democrats in America. That is to make things fair. Well, how would it be fair if the standard of living in the United States is 25 times higher than the standard of living in wherever, Somalia? And to make things fair, they're not going to bring Somalia up to us, so they'll bring us down to them.
That's right. And they blame the fact that they're at that level on us because
we were... Because the United States consumes so much of the world's energy, the United States consumes so much of the world's food, the United States consumes so much of the world's natural resources, but what they don't talk about is the United States is what has allowed the world to get to where it can produce what it produces, where it can have what it has, where it can maintain what it maintains, and where it can be stable as it is stable. Without the United States and its Gibraltar-like strength, the world would be in utter chaos. The entire world would be like Bosnia.
Well, I think we're going back into utter chaos, and that's the motto of one of the groups that are bringing this about, Ordo Ab Chao. I just hope that people don't fall for it. I hope that they're able to keep their heads long enough to get smart and wake up and turn this around.
The only reason that we have not done as a country some of these things that have been written, some of these things that have been agreed to, is because the American public is far too strong to be coerced at this point into doing these things. And And so they are trying to pass rules, pass laws, and win the minds and souls of the American public. It's not going to happen next week, next month, or next year, or even in the next decade, not totally. But they're going to have to quiet Bill and quiet Stan. That's why the fairness doctrine for FCC-licensed radio stations is being talked about. And by the way, do you know they've exempted public radio from the fairness doctrine in the bill itself?
No, in that case, that will be the official propaganda outlet, won't it?
It'll be national public propaganda.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
That's right.
It already is for the selective propaganda today.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you realize, Stan, don't you, that they have a plan that if they're not successful in any other way to create a system of chaos, upheaval, internal unrest so that they can bring this about by force.
Well, of course, that's already been talked about, the whole idea of arming the gangs and making them some sort of a force to enforce things, the idea of just creating chaos as they did in South Central L.A. That was a created situation, obviously by pushing this Rodney King situation to get people to a fever pitch, and then arming a few people and or encouraging a few people and or harming a few people, which some say was done other than by the residents of South Central L.A., and then, of course, it just once it took off. And then they tried it in other countries across the country, but strangely enough, you see, black people in this country, no more than white people, want chaos. Those that will be chaotic, those that will succumb to godlessness and morallessness, are still a relatively small group in this country. They have failed in defeating God, and of course they will always fail in defeating God, but God will not do it for us. And those who read Scripture know that if we choose to turn the wrong way, then God will let us pay the price.
I'm sure you're aware that the black people, because they've had such a difficult time in their history, have always had their antenna out for what's happening, what's going on. And they're more up to date on what's happening and what's coming than most other segments of the population.
Black people, of course, are just as unique and just as different as white people or red people or yellow people. They're people, they're human beings. But if you're going to be stereotypical at all, you certainly have to understand that those who have been kicked in the butt the most often are the most sensitive to when someone's going to kick them in the butt.
That's right. My book is a bestseller in every black community across this country, and when I first heard about it, I was a little surprised until I delved into it and found out that these people are waking up and they're holding meetings and they're educating their communities. And these plans that they have to make them the cause of the clampdown in America just isn't going to work.
You know, the bottom line is that crazy guy that killed all those people, Charles Manson?
Well, he didn't do it, but he sent his followers to
it. Right, but it was his helter-skelter concept.
Yes.
That concept isn't something he thought of all by himself.
Of course not.
That concept is a concept that, frankly, is the game plan of those who would have the world turn to chaos. And, of course, those of us in America think we're all that there is and we're the most important. We hardly are. The fact of the matter is that all over the world, they have sown the seeds. They have created situations which would create chaos. And always the best way to keep people from seeing what the people at the top are doing is to get them fighting among themselves.
Absolutely. I don't know. My audience gets tired of me saying that if we would just stop fighting amongst each other because somebody's skin is a different color or they practice a different religion and look around and focus on the real enemy, we could really have some peace in this world.
Well, the bottom line is that if we are not smart enough to realize that we need to hang together or we will all hang separately, as Benjamin Franklin said, and that we are, in fact, God's children. God did not make white children and the devil make other children. God made human beings, all human beings, and beneath the melanin-tainted, melanin-affected skin that all of us have, some to one degree or another, we have the same blood, the same intestines, the same soul, the same everything. There is no difference among human beings other than the differences that we create, or someone helps us to create, or someone creates for us. And if we are smart enough to look past that, then we will persevere, because there are too many of us for them to overwhelm. Far too many of us for them to overwhelm. And even in places like Russia, where they were godless for 70 years, even places like China, where they've got more human beings under arms than most countries have people, they can't coerce, they can't force, they can't can't sublimate the natural godlessness of all of their people. It won't work. Unless we will walk into the ovens ourselves, they'll never get us in the ovens.
That's right. I always wondered what all the racists, I don't care what race they are, what in the world are they going to do with all those billions of Chinese? It's beyond me how they think that they're going to win and just have one race left over that's going to be this big, mighty, super race.
The fact is, we have only one race. It's called the human race.
That's right.
If we have a contest, it certainly isn't with other humans. Our contest is with the elements. Our contest is with those things. And, you know, all this pity-cat fighting and all these highfalutin schemes that some folks have cooked up over the years will all turn to naught if God ever decides to test the human race.
Well, I think we're being tested. Whether it's Jews or whether it's Aryans or it's blacks or it's Orientals or whatever, there's always a group who thinks that that group is the only group and the best group and the smartest group, and that somehow in the future there's going to be a conflict and they're going to beat all the other groups and they're going to be left ruling the world.
And you know what? If God forbid, all of one group of that, I don't care what group you name, it can be the polka dotted group.
Mm-hmm.
If they would ever end up being the only group, you know what they would do next? They'd fight with themselves.
Absolutely.
They would have accomplished absolutely nothing.
We talked about that one night on this program, is that man somehow has to have somebody beneath him in order to feel good, and that seems to pertain to a portion of the population that seems to have some discrepancy within themselves. So they have to have somebody else to look down upon in order to feel good about themselves.
Of course, that is the mark of smallness. He who looks down is only looking at his own inadequacy. He who looks up is a person who is looking at his own potential. And I just made that up, but that's exactly what it's all about.
I think it's wonderful. Well, I've got to take a little break. Hang on, Stan. We'll get right back to you. Folks, gosh, you've been listening to the Hour of the Time for such a long, long period of time, many of you. Some of you are new listeners and really don't know what this program is all about. But I guarantee if you'll stick with us over a period of time, you're going to find out that this is, if not the, it's at least one of the last bastions of truth and free speech left in this world. You hear things on this program that you don't hear anywhere else. Now, for that kind of a program, folks, it's beyond controversial, because the truth is a no-no. The truth has become wrong. We've gone back to the Dark Ages, where you have to be politically correct. You see, Galileo made a big mistake of telling the truth and ended up being held prisoner by the church for his whole life. Giordano Bruno told the truth and was burned at the stake. That's what politically correct attitude, thought, speech leads to. And we're going right back into the Dark Ages if we don't watch out. If we can't wake the sheeple, if we can't empower the people once they're awake and become people, if we can't do that, then we're all going to end up going backwards in the evolutionary of humankind. We're going to become the property of someone else once again. You see, the United States of America, when it was founded, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the only time that man ever became free in the history of the world, I don't care what country you're talking about, I don't care what period of history you're talking about, man was always owned by somebody, some state, some church, some emir, some king, some sultan, some emperor throughout the history of the world until this nation became a reality. And our forefathers knew that we probably would not be able to hang on to it. They knew this, for they understood human nature. That's why they called this the Grand Experiment, or the Great Experiment. It was to find out if man could truly, really rule himself, be responsible, be the watchdog of his servant, the government, as man stood as a sovereign king in his own right for the first time in history. And it looks like their fears were well-founded, for we are giving it up. We are giving it up through our apathy, our ignorance, our stupidity, whatever you want to call it, our disinterest, our feeling that it can't happen here, it can't happen to me. But it is. Look around. You can see it every day. We're not only being led into socialism, a good portion of the population is screaming for it. Please, Daddy, protect me. Please, Daddy, give me a job. Please, Daddy, take care of me. Please, Daddy, change my diaper. Please, Daddy. Please, Daddy, protect me from the cruel world. Please, Daddy, you be responsible for everything. Don't make me be responsible. I'll give up anything. You can have my freedoms. You can have anything you want in return for just please take care of me. Please. We're reverting to childhood. We're going back into the womb of socialism, being owned by someone else. You see, because when that occurs, ladies and gentlemen, you become property. You become the property of those who bestow the benefits upon you. We are going to suffer in the future if we don't change the direction that we are following. One of the things that is going to happen, and it will happen, is a complete and total economic collapse. The middle class in this country will disappear if this NAFTA thing goes through, this NAFTA treason. And you had better be prepared, or you and your family are going to find yourselves, as my family and I once did when I started telling the truth, in a ditch alone with no help from anyone. Luckily, some people far, far away heard about my plight and helped me. But you see, what's going to happen in the future, we're all going to be in the same situation, and there will be no help unless you have prepared. So right now, call our sponsors. They have the guts to sponsor this program. They've stuck with us through the hardest times. When they burned down WWCR to shut us up, they still stayed with us. And they've suffered for that. Don't think that they've gotten away scot-free. They haven't. Call them now. Take steps to protect the financial future of you and your family. Call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. Don't wait. 1-800-289-2646. Ladies and gentlemen, by protecting your future, you'll be protecting the future of this program, the hour of the time, and of course, freedom for the world. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Say this land to me, as I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I've roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of the diamond desert. And all around me a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the River Forest to the Gulf Stream water. May this land was made for you and me.
Remember, folks. Socialism sucks. Welcome back, Stan.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about some of the things that have happened to you since. Let's. Who are these groups that are attacking you and making your life miserable these days?
The ones that are doing it overtly are. I've had letters of demanding that I be taken off the air from the rabbis of the Reform and Conservative Jewish synagogues. I have had responses from the gay and lesbian organizations. I've had responses from the civil rights groups. and criticism and name calling, certainly from the Civil Liberties Union and the Planned Parenthood type of people. I could almost say to you, name them, and you name them as easily as I name them.
Mm-hmm.
The Anti-Defamation League.
Oh, yes.
All of these organizations that are espousing that things should be changed, there should be no absolutes, the human secularist, if you will.
Yes. Now, what are you doing to counter this? Have you got public support with you?
I've gotten incredibly amazing public support. Just to give you an idea, Bill, I decided about 3 weeks ago, I think my timing is right, maybe four, but I think I'll say four to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
4 weeks ago, I just said, look, we, most of us, I think, feel the same. But let's see if, in fact, you do. Let's create a PAC, a Political Action Committee. In fact, we called it the SAC, S-A-C-K PAC. I said, let's sack these people that voted for this highway robbery called the Deficit Reduction Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sack these people that have ignored overwhelming requests by their constituents on a 9 or 10 to 1 ratio not to vote for higher taxes and bigger government and more socialization and more dependency and socialized medicine and socialized education and expansion of public education and expansion of entitlement programs and punishing of entrepreneurship and being successful and or a violation and a destruction of all contractual relationships where the government is supposed to pay once it is taken from us. I said, let's sack these people. If you're willing to do that, call me. Let's see if you're willing to put your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, I have gotten not 100, not 1,000, but tens of thousands of interested people. We're going to create a PAC right here in Indianapolis and in central Indiana, and frankly throughout the state of Indiana, that will be among the bigger PACs in the country, that will in fact be in a position to act on getting out politicians who won't commit to, one, morality, and two, smaller government and lower taxes and elimination of this flood of activity toward socialization. We're going to put the ballot initiative into the Constitution of the State of Indiana because it's not here now. We're going to work for school choice. We're going to work for lower taxes, a friendly environment, an elimination of relationships with the federal government, however and wherever possible, and a realization that the people who live in Indiana should be the people who determine what happens in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Stan, God bless you always. I love to hear what you're saying, and I hear from everybody all the time. There's nothing I can do. I'm just one lonely person. You're just one person, aren't you?
Absolutely. another average yahoo out there. Each of us controls the destiny of the world if only we will take charge of our own destiny.
How many times in history has one lone individual changed the entire course of the world?
And frankly, I look at someone like Rush Limbaugh, and I don't agree with everything he says, but here's a guy who was willing to be called all kinds of names, willing to be called politically incorrect, and willing to at least stand up for some of the core values, and look at where he is today.
Yes.
And look, and yet, you notice in the Rush Limbaugh program, there's not one single known national sponsor, is there?
No, there's not.
None of the Fortune 500 companies, none of the major sponsors, even though they're on the garbage that's on television, even though they're on softcore pornography like NYPD Blue, even the major, the big companies, good companies in my opinion, the fact is we have an uphill battle, but we are in charge. It's almost like, you know, when the second place team is trying to catch the first place team, but it seems as though the first place team is really trying to catch the second place team. So we're the second place team that's really the first place team because we are the majority of the people in this country, in this world. We are the people that are truly on God's side or Allah's side or Buddha's side. I mean, without being individual about it, there is a group of people in this world. They are the vast majority that says there should be right There should be wrong. There should be up. There should be down. There should be responsibility to coincide with right, and I mean rights, if you will, and that we cannot operate when we have the tail wagging the dog.
Mm-hmm. You know, while, since you brought it up, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack about it, I'm going to add fuel to the fire because I want some flack. I want some controversy. I want to talk about this, in fact. Our forefathers did not create a Christian nation. They did not create a godless nation. They created a nation where everyone has the religious freedom, and the government was prohibited from passing any law respecting any establishment of religion, so that there could be no one religion, and that we could all practice and worship at the altar of our choice in this country.
The fact of the matter is, there was never supposed to be separation of church from state.
That's right, and that's not even in the Constitution.
There was separation of church, I mean of state from church.
That's right.
To protect the church from the state, not to protect the state from the church. But the bottom line is, the Supreme Court of the United States, which is 9 relatively average fools at any given time, no smarter than we, said that anything that people strongly believe in and that controls the actions of their lives is in fact a religion. So that human secularism is a religion. Belief in evolution is a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Atheism is a religion.
That's right.
Therefore, it gets the protection of religion, but in essence, if there is this so-called separation of church and state, how can you be teaching secular humanism in schools? It's a religion.
You're absolutely correct.
Our own Supreme Court's definition.
That's right. Now, I would like to also remind our listeners that in our check of the memberships of organizations of members of the Supreme Court throughout the history of this country, they have overwhelmingly been Freemasons.
There's no question, except lately, Ginsburg's not a Mason, Senator O'Connor is not a Mason, none of the women that are on the court, of course, are too.
That's right.
Clarence Thomas is not a Mason. Of course, Clarence Thomas believes in a higher authority. Clarence Thomas believes in natural law. Clarence Thomas, they did their best to keep you back.
That's right.
But we persevered. Anita Hill has been proof positive that you can be moralist, godless, and a lying individual and yet affect the outcome of history. Here again, one person, as classless as she is, has affected history because the reason that Jocelyn Elders was confirmed as Surgeon General is because these senators did not want to be seen as picking on a black woman.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Anita Hill was trapped into this and didn't have the courage to tell the truth and went along with what she was caught up in? Or do you think that she was part of it from the beginning?
I think that she was, first of all, you know that she had a relationship with Metzenbaum's assistant, Brudley, or Brudley, whatever his name was, long before she ever worked for Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
She just lied. She's always been a radical liberal, a feminist, and frankly, a number of other things. But the key is, she felt that she could, as many liberals have done, sabotage, torpedo people without ever having to be pinned with being the person who, in fact, inflicted the fatal blow.
Mm-hmm.
What happened here is she assumed that she could, circumcise or disembowel Clarence Thomas without having to take credit for it publicly and just in her own perverted private way enjoy the fact that she'd ruined someone.
Mm-hmm.
Once it became apparent she couldn't do that, and then they put her it became public, then she recognized that she had an opportunity to win an Oscar. All she had to do was act like she was moral, act like she was not an aggressive, mean-spirited, without ethic person, as she had shown to all the people she worked with over the years, and put on this little act, and then say, anything you say to me is because you're either a chauvinist or you're a racist, and if you don't accept everything I say, there's something wrong with you. And the fact is that out of 600-some-odd women that worked with Clarence Thomas, not one, not a black woman, not a white woman, not a gay woman, not a straight woman, agreed with Anita Hill because they all knew that she was a piece of trash.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the United States Senate, because it's filled with Marxists on the Democrat side, gave this woman credibility, gave this woman kindness and attention, made this woman, and of course our press jumped all over it, seem like she at least
possibly was telling the truth when a deaf, dumb, blind, idiot, and fool, and now our president, could have figured out that she was absolutely lying.
And not only that, but most of those congressmen knew that she was lying.
From, of course
from
did.
Day one.
And our inspector proved it, beyond any shadow of a doubt. Caught her in the lie, caught her witnesses in the lie. The bottom line was, it was an issue. Now, we did get Clarence Thomas in, thank God, but the fact of the matter is that Ginsburg, who is a radical, wasn't even challenged. 97-3, when everyone knows, here's a woman that says you should lower the age of consent to 12, that you should eliminate anything that separates people by sexes.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even want separate sexes for bathrooms, as far as I know.
Yeah.
This woman is a radical. She believes that she has the authority to rewrite the Constitution to put in there whatever she wants to put in there.
Now she said that, didn't she?
Absolutely, she said it. She wrote it.
Oh, this is incredible. It's incredible to me that the American people sit out here and they're viewing all of this and they see it happening in front of their eyes, and yet they think somehow without their participation things are going to get better. What have you got to say about that?
Well, here's what's happening. And this is, our strength is our weakness and our weakness is our strength. That's always been the case with human beings. What is the strength of the, shall we say, God-fearing, high work ethic, moral part of the world, and that is they are considerate, they are courteous, they are forgiving, they are busy, they are involved, they are caring, they are responsible. Now, that means they're playing above board. The other side can use those strengths as weaknesses and say, you tell the truth, we're not bothered with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You spend your time working, we're not bothered spending our time working. You feel that you should be courteous, we don't have any need to be courteous. You feel that you should be moral, we have no reasons to be moral, so that they use our strength as our weakness, and the result is where they can pay people, and they have done this, to move from this movement to that movement to the other movement, from this city to that city to the other city. We can't do those things. We're working for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't one day wear a green shirt and say we're an environmentalist, and the next day wear a brown shirt and say we're for animal rights, and the next day wear a red shirt and say we're for the homeless, and the next day wear a pink shirt. We would say, hey, we will be honest. We'll be us. We won't put on a wig, put on a mustache, put on weight, take off weight, shave our head, grow hair. We won't do those things, but they will. And so the perception is reality. And we perceive that there are all these movements that all feel the same way, but it's the same group of people.
It's always the same group of people.
Exactly.
And it's always the same leaders, isn't it? And when you
what I call the PPP, the Party of Professional Perverts.
Yes, and when you trace the money that backs these people, you
it's
trace them.
It's for the money, because money is what it's all about in America. And mm-hmm. I don't know the rules for around the world, but in America, for every dollar that the government takes from us on whatever guise they take it, whether it's just seizing assets or it's taxes, for every dollar they take, they give back to the economy 17 cents. They consume 83 cents.
Yes.
So every dollar that they don't take, that we are able to recirculate, $2.70 appears in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the difference between 17 cents and $2.70. Every time the government takes a dollar, the economy loses $15.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about the situation where people say we have to have some sort of socialism or we couldn't have interstate highways?
That's nonsense. We
couldn't have bridges. We couldn't
That's
have
nonsense.
This. We couldn't have that.
That's nonsense. I mean, why would someone make such an asinine statement? That's like saying we have to have socialism or we couldn't have a life change. We couldn't have 100,000 people join hands and cross a state or cross the country. But of course we can. Everyone just covers their part of it. So if every part of the country covers just their part, you join them together. How were railroads built in this country? Under socialization? Hell no, they were built by private companies. Each built a section and they joined together, did they not?
That's right. My answer to these people, I always look them in the eye and I say, where in the world do you think this money is coming from? It's coming out of your pockets, and because it has to go through all this huge, tremendous federal bureaucracy, you end up paying five times more than you would if you took care of your own portion.
In fact, it's about the right number, and what people don't realize is that, have you ever gone gambling? What happens when you go to gamble at a professional gambling establishment, a casino?
Well, if you're asking me, I usually lose my shirt.
My point is that what do? they take a cut of every pot, do they not?
Sure.
So if you stay there long enough, does the house end up with all the money?
Absolutely.
They have to. Who's going to end up with all of the money with the government taking a cut of every pot?
Not only that, people say they only pay so much income taxes every year. They forget about the excise tax on gasoline. They forget about the taxes they pay in the grocery store, the sales tax, the this tax, the license fee.
America spends 60% of everything that they spend. Let me say it again. The average person in America only gets the benefit of 40% of their earnings.
That's right.
60% goes directly or indirectly in the ways that you're describing to pay taxes or to pay a higher price because someone else is paying taxes.
That's right. And on some things, like a loaf of bread, you may be paying 30 different taxes on all the different ingredients that went into that loaf of bread, the wrapping, and everything else.
Well, depending on how it's done.
That's
the fact
right.
is that the people who sell the flour and the people who sell the wrappings and the people who do the printing on the wrappings and the people who put the sesame seeds on top all have to pay income taxes on their profits, even if they're not sales taxes. And they all had to pay sales taxes on the products that they use to make the products that we're talking about. So the fact of the matter is that the government is coming up with a different way every day to take still more, still more, still more. And if they keep taking still more, here's the key, and I know we're about out of time.
Yes, we are. In fact, we got to go right now.
Okay.
Go ahead and wrap it up real quick.
The budget director for the President of the United States, Leon Panetta, stated it very clearly. Government has first right to the earnings of its citizens, and it's only after government has accomplished whatever it considers to be in the general good that the citizens have the right to the remainder, if any.
And with that, thank you, Stan, for being such a wonderful guest. God bless you, and I hope to have you back sometime at a future date.
Well, I look forward to it, and we'll certainly have you on our program. By the way, I'm on WIBC in Indianapolis.
And folks, write to, I want everybody in this audience to write to W, what is it again?
WIBC.
That's what I thought. WIBC in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's all the address you need. And give this.
46260.
46260. And give this man your wholehearted support and do it tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow or you'll forget. Good night and God bless you all.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grace, for purple mountain majesties.
Are you still there, Stan?
I'm still here.
Hey, that was a great show. You really did a good job.
Well, again, that's what I do. I hope I didn't monopolize too much there.
No, you did wonder. When guests come on my show, I bring them on the show for my audience to hear them, not me. They hear me anytime I want. I can monopolize this show anytime I want.
How often do you do your show?
Every night, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. goes worldwide in North, South, and Central America by satellite.
Actually, I'm not sure that the letters will get here with WIBC Indianapolis 46260, but I think they will because the post office knows this.
Yeah.
The address, if anyone would ask you, is 9292 North Meridian Street.
Okay, let me write it down here. It's, say the name of the station again.
WIBC.
WIBC. And the address now?
9292 North Meridian Street. And that's 46260.
Okay. We'll get you some support from my listeners.
Well, that's great. We appreciate it. I mean, it's been incredible here. We have gotten, since I've been on this station, somewhere in the neighborhood of probably conservatively 10, 11,000 names, addresses, and phone numbers of people who have said, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now in this SACPAC